kids' church. For those who need to go to kids' church. And I'm finding my mouse. I might need your help again, Jim. Come and fix it for me, please. I want to see what's on there, though. I'm just looking at Waikawa Bay at the moment. Right, well, let's just that passage there that Brecken has read, we're going to come back to it. And we're going to look today at how to share our faith, and specifically how to share our faith with our Sikh neighbours or Sikh workmates or Sikh friends or wherever you may meet Sikhs. So last time we looked at that passage, which is at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, that says, be always ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. And so when somebody asks you why you're a Christian and what being a Christian means and so forth, you need to be able to give them some sort of explanation and give them some sort of, you know, reason as to what it is that you... Does somebody else work with PCs? Want to project it and have both screens? So it could just extend the desktop. See, normally you set these things up, but we have to unplug my one. Oh, now he's getting into the control panel. I'll just carry on. Okay. Why Sikhs? Well, last week we looked at Muslims. The reason was obvious is because, they're in the news and they, you know, are gaining a lot of media attention and also a lot of fear at the moment. What about Sikhs? Well, it's obvious. We live in an area where there's a growing Sikh population. Does anybody know, by the way, how many Sikhs there might be in this area? Or I had a look on the statistics website yesterday, and it says that there are 296. Well, I don't think that's right somehow. I think that's, they probably must, put, that's beautiful. Just leave it right there. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah, that's even better. So we got the, top marks, thanks, guys. So we're living in this area where there are a number of Sikhs, and we've got this temple down here. Has anybody, by the way, been, it's called a Gurdwara, has anybody been into that? Yeah. I've went on a school trip, actually. So Takanini school trip, go to the Gurdwara. There's a couple of teachers here, probably more now, I don't know. I don't want to know if I know that one of Finley's teachers was a Sikh, or as they would pronounce it, Sikh. Just sounds a bit sick to us. But that's how they say Sikh. We went long to this Gurdwara down here, and they're very hospitable, very welcoming. And you have to put a something on your head anyway. It's kind of felt like a hanky to me, an orange hanky. In that building there, you go in, there's a place for washing yourself down the bottom. There's a huge hall with a kitchen at the end of it, which is a community kitchen. Anybody is welcome to go and get free feed there. And then upstairs is the worship or the meeting part. And there's no chairs in it, obviously, the whole building, it seems. And upstairs is a big, elaborate pedestal at the front, and there's musical instruments, and the holy scriptures are there. So this is the largest Sikh temple in the whole of New Zealand, and there's a growing population. You know, you can't, if you drive down Manurua Road, you see men wearing turbans, you see ladies wearing traditional clothes, and probably, I don't know, anybody here got any Sikh neighbours? Anybody here got any Sikh workmates? Yeah, So you'll be coming across. So these are the guys wearing the turbans, and the ladies often have their heads covered. So what do Sikhs believe? Just quickly run through this. The thing that the Sikhs believe, well, they believe in God. There is only one God, okay? They've got that part right, but they don't believe in the three persons of the Trinity. It's important for you to understand. They're very strong in rejecting the Trinity. So name of our church is possibly going to be a bit of a turnoff to Sikhs and Muslims and Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. We can't worry about that, right? What do they believe about God? God is actually not a person. He's without form or gender, in which we know that, you know, God is not a man as such, but he's not a person. He's sort of like a being who's actually, by the way, is in everything. So, you know, when you read the Bible, you read in the beginning God, and then God created the universe. In Sikhism, it's not like that. God is part of everything, and he's sort of in everything, and he's kind of, if you took everything away, there would be no God. It's sort of a subtle difference to understand. He's not a person that stands apart as we see the Lord, but this is what you actually call panentheism. Everybody has access to God because we're not actually sinners as such. Sure, we do bad things, people do bad things, but we're not sinners, we haven't fallen, as the scriptures teach. So in a Sikh's mind, there is no need for a mediator, somebody to give you access to God. You know, how do you get close to God, or what is a good life? It's a good life is lived by being part of a community, by living honestly and caring for others. So it's a life that's based on works, not on faith. And they do have a very strong community, and they are very protective of their community because they understand that they need to do that to protect their culture and their faith. And they have, it is a faith that is based on the scriptures, you know, so there is, again, this is a similarity to Christianity, the Guru Granth Sahib, and that is, so when you look at the Gurdwara over here, it's got the big gold dome on it, right? And you go, what's the big gold dome for? The big gold dome stands above the scriptures. So the scriptures are up on a platform. They're covered over with very elaborate robes and blankets and carpets and stuff, and you know, lots of gold and lots of bright colors. And they are honored with this big gold dome over the top. And so Sikhism started around in the 1500s. So it's about, religion itself is only about 500 years old. And it was based on gurus, okay? So the gurus, there have been 10 gurus down through the ages. The last one died about 1700s. And they were the ones who were the leaders of they were the mouthpiece of God. They spoke on behalf of God. But since the last guru has died, the authoritative guru is now the scripture. So they call that the Guru Granth Sahib. And so they've collected all those writings together. You read things like this. This is the first, I've actually got the app on my phone, I can read that. One universal creator, immanent throughout his creation. His name is truth, beyond fear, beyond hatred, beyond time, beyond birth, self-existent. True in the primal beginning, true through the ages, true here and now, O Nanak, forever and ever, and so on. If you go to the temple, they will sing. And I know, Jesse, you've had a bit of involvement too, haven't you, with Sikhs?
Well,
it's a long story. Talk to Jesse afterwards. He's got a great story for you. What do Sikhs have to do? What is expected of them? So there's three duties of Sikhism. Pray, keep God in mind at all times. Outside our, you know, we live close to a school, and there's some Sikh families with children in the school, and the grandparents come and pick up the kids. And I notice there's always a Sikh man there, and he's sitting in the car, and he's got his scriptures open, and he's often reciting them, sitting in the car, waiting for his grandchild to come out. So pray, work, you know, earn an honest living, and you know, work for your money. And getting rich is good, you know, aiming for that, but you have to just do it in an honest way, but also be generous So that's, again, similarities to what we would say, you know, we'd say, God, those are good things, praying, working, giving, that's all good stuff. There are five Ks in Sikhism. So there's three duties, five Ks. These are five things, actually, that an initiated Sikh has to wear on their body. Okay, does anybody know any of them? Yeah, so a bit of a dagger there, or a sword, even better, wear a sword, or just a little dagger. So the five Ks are, and obviously in English they're not five Ks, but kesh, hair. Okay, hair is holy, it's a gift from God, don't cut it. So wear your hair, wear it neat and tidy, you know, it symbolizes many things, but it's, I think the basic idea is that if God has given you hair, you shouldn't really cut it off. Because if he intended for you, you know, he wouldn't have given it to you if he wanted you to cut off, you know, that sort of reasoning. And so it's a sign of holiness and of a spiritual and Godward sort of life. A bracelet cutter, a reminder that you're living for God and that God is eternal, you know, the old ring, never-ending ring thing, a steel bracelet. A comb, you know, so if you've got lots of hair, you need to comb your hair, so a wooden comb somewhere on your body at all times symbolizes cleanliness of body and mind. Cotton underwear, symbol of chastity. I prefer nylon, but hey, you know, no, that's just a joke. Ian got that one. or a dagger, as Terry said. Ceremonial or, you know, real dagger. In fact, if you look at some of the Sikh ceremonies, they have big, like, they're not just like little wee ones, they are real fair dinkum swords. I mean, it's like, whoa, you know, let's not get angry, guys, while we're doing our... this is like, you can imagine if you came up for baptism and me and Dan, and you know, we'd be standing there with a big sword and, okay, you want to get baptized? Yeah. And there is a baptism, so I'll show you a picture actually later on. Gurdwara down here, there are four taboos which are written on the wall, and this is from memory, the four taboos. And I say from this tucking anyone, because it seems that if you do a bit of research, they all have slight variations. What the hair thing is in all of them. So do not cut your hair, do not commit adultery, do not partake in tobacco or alcohol. It doesn't actually say alcohol at this one. It says tobacco products, but I assume they mean alcohol. And do not eat halal meat. And then some will say kosher. And then then some Sikhs are vegetarian. So don't eat meat at all. So there's a bit of a debate about... whether they should be eating meat. Initiations and holy days. So there's Amrit is an initiation ceremony. That's what the guys are doing there. So that involves prayers. And it's when a person really wants to devote themselves to being a full-on Sikh. They sing hymns, prayers. They affirm their beliefs. And then there's a mixture of water and sugar, and they mix that up, and that's stirred up with a double-edged sword. And it's sprinkled on the person's eyes and on their hair, and the person is given a new name. And the way a person gets a new name is they open their sacred scriptures up, and the first letter of the first word, you choose a name beginning with the first letter of that first word. And all Sikh men have the name what? Singh. Singh, okay. And the women usually have the name Kaur. Okay, is that how you say it, Kua? I don't know. And you might think, oh, that's pretty limiting, you know, like how many names can you find that? But they've got huge lists of names that you can have, so it's not that limiting, you know, you can come up with pretty original. Well, you probably start make up your own name, I don't know. And then from then on you have to wear the five Ks. Once you've been initiated. And then there are holy days like Diwali. Diwali is a big deal, and we all benefit from it, don't we? It's quite neat that it actually coincides with what's the other one, Alan? Guy Fawkes. Yeah, Guy Fawkes. Yeah. So that was to celebrate the release of one of the gurus in 1619 from prison. And so they celebrate it with candles, fireworks, giving of gifts. And in fact, interestingly, just like in amongst Christians, there's concern that Diwali is becoming very commercialized and people are going over the top and spending too much and it's just a big shopping time. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Big deal. When I was in India a couple of years ago, that's like huge, you know, as they set up big stadiums and big light shows and concerts and so on, and they go all night. So what about, what? More importantly though, oh, you might have wondered about that symbol there. You've seen it. That's the Sikh symbol, pretty universal. That's called the Khanda, and it's kind of like the cross for Christians or Star of David for Jews, and it's got a few things in it. It's got a double-edged sword in the middle, and it's got two daggers on the outside, and then in the middle it's got a circle, which you call, is it a chakra, which symbolizes the circle of life and reincarnation and that kind of thing. So you'll see that, and the swords symbolize obviously what swords symbolize, but they talk about things like cleaving truth from falsehood and all that sort of thing. So what about salvation? If you're a Sikh, and how do you get saved? That's really the important thing. That's the question on the heart of everybody, isn't it? Well, the first thing to understand is that God is something on the inside. You look for God on the inside, maybe in the world around you. And you do this, you look for God to help you gain liberation, okay? The other important thing, so you don't cry to God who is there, a God who is in control, a God of heaven. You look for God in here. And then the other thing, the important thing to understand that we as human beings spend our time in a cycle. This is what you call... it's reincarnation, it's called something, it's got another name, which I can't remember. So it's basically birth, death, rebirth, birth, death, rebirth. And that's common to Hinduism and Buddhism and other faiths. So the idea then is to transmigrate, to get out of that cycle, to rise above that and get back to God. And that's what the idea of salvation is. So while Christianity regards sinners, humans as inherently sinful and not deserving of salvation, Sikhs regard the human soul as it's got divine in it, and God already is in us, and we're already good, and the only reason why we're having any problems is because we've moved away from God, and what we need to do is follow the scriptures, so follow the guru, and please God, do the right things, do the three duties, wear the 5Ks, just generally be good, keep God's laws, and by that we achieve his salvation from God. And by that we break free. Salvation means you break free of the cycle of birth, death, rebirth. Okay? Very important to understand, because when you and I talk about salvation, what it means to be saved, and you talk to a Sikh, they're going to think of something totally different. So what should we do? That's really faint, I can see there, but don't worry, we'll be able to see what I want to say. Brecon read from John chapter 14. So everybody knows that, eh? Everybody knows John 14 verse 6. So his disciples are confused because Jesus has told them that he is going away. And they say, well, how do we know where you're going? And how do we know to get where you're going? And Thomas says in verse 5, for example, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I've thought of this when, in terms of understanding how we can share with our sick neighbor, is that we can share with them that Jesus is the way. And what this means is that culture is not the way. I think it's really important for us to understand when you're, if you ever want to share the gospel with a Sikh person, the way to God is through Jesus, not through some changing external cultural thing. The problem that you and I have as Christians, if you are a Christian, and this is a problem, of course, for many cultures, that they see Christianity as being what? A Western religion. It's a religion for people in America who drive automobiles, who wear suits, you know, and live in houses with green front lawns and that kind of thing. They think that Christianity is, and that of course is a Western religion, and that wasn't helped by the fact that Christianity came to India, which is where most Sikhs are from. They're from a province, an area called Punjab, and about 20 million of them. Christianity came to India with the British conquerors. So it came really with the army and with all of that stuff that was bad. And while there were many Christian missionaries who were seeking to share the gospel, there were others who weren't so wise, and of course the government was involved. And then their fears were confirmed when anybody who was a Sikh became a Christian. When they became a Christian, they immediately changed. They stopped wearing traditional clothes. They started wearing pants and shirts. They started doing things like eating with knives and forks. I mean, who would, you know, it's crazy. And they started to dress differently. They started to, and they broke off all their connections with their families. And they, of course, even worse, shaved off, because that was the in thing, you know, people shaved and men shaved and they cut their hair and didn't wear a turban. So I think that the really important for you to understand that if you get into a conversation with your neighbor who's a Sikh and you're sharing about what Christianity means, is that the way to salvation that you're sharing is, I didn't become a Christian because I decided to dress like this and become like this, and that you therefore have to be like this too. You know, that they need to understand that if they are interested in Christ, they don't need to abandon their culture. They don't need to abandon who they are. They don't need to, for example, start acting and behaving like you or Christians in America. It might be helpful for you to point out to them that Jesus didn't wear pants. Jesus didn't eat with a knife and a fork, did he? And Jesus certainly didn't eat McDonald's, you know, if that's what they're thinking about what Christianity is. So you need to they need to understand that culture is not the way. You separate our culture, and we all have a culture, don't we? The other thing is that Jesus doesn't just point to the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for your Sikh friend who understands what their faith through the gurus... The gurus were those who spoke on behalf of God and pointed people and said to people, I've got a revelation from God. This is what God wants. This is the right way to live. And you know, they are versed in the teachings of the gurus, that you follow the teachers. And so Sikhism would respect Jesus as not a guru, at least, but at least enlightened. And what they need to understand is that this verse is not presenting Jesus as a guru. They can understand that there were other kinds of gurus in the scriptures, you know, Moses and Elijah and Samuel. They were prophets. But Jesus is not like them. Jesus is not a guru. In other words, when Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life, he's not just saying to them, I'm a great teacher. And a lot of people were quite happy with that, aren't they? A lot of people are quite... And like, oh yeah, Jesus said some cool things. Or Jesus was sort of an enlightened spirit. But it's important that, you know, when you're explaining your faith, you explain that Jesus is much more than that. Because what Jesus is saying here is that he himself is the way. Jesus himself is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way back to the Father. He's the way to God. He is the way. He said, I am the door. I am the door. He said, basically, all of those who want to come to God have to come through me. I am the door. And he is the truth. He's true truth. All others, when they're compared to Jesus, they're not fully true. There's truth in all religions. There's elements of truth in all religions. But Jesus can stand and say, he is the truth. He is the complete and he is the final truth. You know, when you ever wondered why Jesus, when he was talking, and some of your Bibles will have that little, Jesus will start to say something, you know, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies and bears much fruit, you know, and things like that. Jesus is affirming, each time he spoke, didn't he? He affirmed repeatedly that what he was saying was the truth of God himself. You know that in the King James, it's the verily, verily. It's actually literally the amen, amen, amen. So Jesus is the truth and Jesus is life. Scriptures say of Jesus that in him is life and that life is the light of men. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's the source of physical life, but also he's the source of spiritual life, of eternal life. And so, for a Sikh person who's looking to transmigrate, to escape the constant cycling of life through life and a birth and life and death, Jesus is the one who's able to give eternal life. Jesus is the one who can bring them to the Father because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And he can give assurance of eternal life. One of the things you would have noticed, you know, remember last week about Islam, is that there is no assurance. Muhammad didn't have assurance. And the same with Sikhism, because these are faiths that are based on performance, on having to do the right thing. And so there is no assurance of eternal life. And so Jesus can say, I give to you eternal life. So I don't know, whether you know any Sikhs or not, the fact is you're going to meet more and more. This is a growing population here. Large temple, lots of houses happening. When Mari and I were looking to try and buy a house, we looked at some houses over there by the temple and be like, the real estate agent basically said to us, why are you guys looking here? You know, he looked at us, hop out of the car, was like, you don't belong here. the school has got a growing number of children from the Sikh community here. Things are going to get busy. I'm sure that a lot of the businesses around here will end up eventually, it's already heading that way, but a lot of them will end up eventually just being owned by Sikhs. And so it's something we've got to get used to. It's something we've got to get our heads around. It's something we have to be aware of because, as I said, again, as with the Muslims, you can respond either with, you know, fear or faith. Sikh community has actually suffered quite a backlash since the rise of Islamic terrorism. Many people don't know the difference between a Sikh and a Muslim, and so Sikhs are all the time getting harassed and beaten up. And in the States, there have been instances of Sikhs being actually shot by people wanting to take revenge because they think, well, he's got a turban, he's a Muslim. Well, Muslims do not wear turbans. In fact, the two religions are quite, there's quite a bit of animosity between them because Sikhism has been persecuted over the years. So, of all people, we Christians at Trinity Church, we should not be responding with fear. We shouldn't be responding with anger. We shouldn't be attacking and, you know, isolating and ignoring and avoiding Sikhs. We should really be looking to share our faith with them, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's a great thing. So instead of running the other way, instead of hiding, instead of closing your eyes, instead of avoiding them, talk about your faith. Tell them you're a Christian. Ask them what they believe and ask them how they hope to go to be with God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us because we have received the gospel. It's not because of who we are. It's not because of where we were born. It's not because of who our parents were. It's not because of the language we speak or any of these things, Lord. We know it is purely an act of grace on your behalf. We do not deserve it. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us where we confuse our faith with our culture. We pray that you would forgive us for somehow assuming that we do things in a better way. But we pray, Lord God, too, that you would give us opportunities to talk about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we live in a community which is changing. This community of Takanini is seeing a lot of people of this religion, the Sikh religion, coming here. And Lord, we pray that we would be wise in how we relate to them. We would be able to relate with grace, with respect, and that we would be able to explain to them the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. We pray this in his name. Amen.